Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, the demon began to tear him apart, to tear him, as it says here in this passage. He fell on the ground and he wallowed, foaming. In other words, you could see that he had become like a madman, foaming at his mouth, as it says here, falling to the ground. And as the earlier verses, we find out things about him that he's gnashing in his teeth and he's becoming very rigid and so on as he falls to the ground. You can just imagine, years before the Messiah, Yeshua himself, they brought him that son in that condition. And you can see that that evil spirit was constantly tearing him apart. And so we read in the next verses, verse 21 and verse 22 of our Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, that now Yeshua is questioning the Father. And he's talking now to the Father who came specifically with his son, knowing that he's able to receive healing from Yeshua himself, from the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, while the disciples could not do so because they were not empowered by the Lord, because they were not in a proper, suitable spiritual state. And so we find out now in verses 21 and 22, he asked the Father, and he said, how long is it since this came unto him? How long time does your son have this condition? And the Father said, since he was a child. Imagine, young kid, young boy, growing up at home in such a terrible state, such a terrible condition, falling, becoming rigid, foaming, grinding his teeth, tearing apart. He's telling even additional information when you read here in the next verse, verse 22, give him additional information. He said, and oftentimes he cast him, this is the demon, cast him into the fire. Verse 22, and then into the water. Now, can you imagine, brothers and sisters, what it meant to live like this, to seek to maintain this son sane? But this evil spirit, that's what Satan does. He destroys. He opposes God and God's people. He constantly attacks men here in this world. And you can just imagine how this family have lived for years since this boy was young. Fire, water, gnashing of teeth, foaming from the mouth, falling down, rigid becoming, or tearing him apart. Can you imagine what a condition this boy have gone through? By the way, with this situation, perhaps it teaches us why we have such a condition like in the world today. There are so many things that men have been attacked by Satan and those who follow him, by all sort of things that are existing today in the world in which we live in. Can you just imagine what is going on in the world today? And it is also a description of sin, of that which is evil. A description. That's how it characterizes. It's a mini picture of showing what's going on in the world in which we live in. That's why we needed the Mashiach, the Messiah. That's why God had to send the Messiah down to this world. He sent his only begotten Son into this world of sin and woe. And so now look at this. This man, the Father, is now appealing to the Lord. Look at him, how he asked him. He said in verse 22, he said, but after all what I've just described to you, what my son is going through, he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can help us. If you can do anything to this child of mine, if you can really, really help this boy of ours, please, as it says here in verse 22, have compassion and help us. In chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, in verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, this one says, the leper in John 1 verse 40, this father of the son said, if you can, have mercy on us, have compassion on us, and help my son. He's asking, if, notice they use the word if. You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we don't necessarily realize that God can do all things. It's not if, but he can do all things. He can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. He can give sight to the blind. He can give hearing to the deaf. He can make the lame to walk. God can do all things. It's not if, though we are like him, sometimes say, God, if you can, please do that. If you wish, please do that. That's how sometimes we are, right? But I don't blame this man because I do the very same thing. And you may do so as well. You know, God is willing to help us, to bless us, to minister to our hearts. It's not an issue of if. He is able. There's a song that we sometimes sing. He is able. He is able. I know he is able. I know he is able to carry me through. It's a wonderful song. And here he says, if you can, if you're able, he says, do anything. He said, to do anything, have compassion on us and help us, he said. And look how the Lord answered. So beautiful, because the Lord is responding to him. And he says, you ask me if I can do anything for your son? I will do the very same thing. And he said to him, if, notice now, he used the same if in verse 23, and he said, if you can believe, all things are possible unto him that believe. You see, the teaching here is of the importance of believing. Faith. Not only faith unto salvation, but faith in order to be able to continue on and to live here for the Lord in spite of the opposition and that which is seemed to be against us. And so Yeshua responding to him with the same thought. He asked him, if you can do anything, please do so, help us. The Lord is answering him simply, can you believe? Do you have faith in me? Do you believe in God, what he's saying? Do you believe in God? He says, if you can believe, he says, all things are possible unto him that simply believe. Now, you don't tell me now, Brother Gideon, I want to change this mountain. I want to move it this way, and I believe that God's going to do it. God does not want you to rearrange the universe. He can do it on his own. But what he's really teaching us is that the people that believe in God, they need not only to believe on him unto salvation, but to believe that he is able to help us along the way when trials and challenges are coming. Could you turn with me to Genesis chapter 18 for a moment? I just want to read those verses there. In the time of our forefather Abraham, Avraham Avinu, we read in Genesis chapter 18, we read there in verse 11, you remember Abraham waited and waited and waited to have a son, Yitzchak, that came later on. And so we read in verse 11 of chapter 18 of Genesis, now Abraham and Sarah were old and they were stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She didn't believe that she's going to have a son. And so we read in verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And look what the Lord said to Abraham in verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the set time or the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Notice the question that God asked Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer, of course not. Now, remember, dear brothers and sisters, Abraham was pushing 99. His wife, Sarah, is 89. You try this today and see if you can have any child at this age. It's not possible. Humanly, it's not possible. But is anything hard for the Lord? Nothing is hard for him because he's God. He opened a womb because he's God in a miraculous way. Sarah had a child by the name of Isaac. And by the way, his name Yitzchak comes from the word laughter. Because Abraham laughed earlier, Sarah laughed now. And when somebody saw Abraham 100 years old and a boy that is a baby, he said, is that your son? Yitzchak, tzachak, laughter. But you see, God, nothing is hard for him. It is speaking of our own life. We oftentimes don't believe God. And that's why Yeshua said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that simply believe. To him that simply believe. I want to read one more verse in Matthew chapter 19. I'll read that verse because it is going along with the verse that we just read. Matthew 19 verse 23. Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And look what Yeshua said. Yeshua beheld them, and he said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. It's so good to know that, because he's God. He's the creator. He's the upholder of all things. He's the one that sustains all things. All things are possible with him. And so we read, brothers and sisters, in the next verses. Notice verses now 24. He asked him, and I think this is a very, very important verse. In verse 24, straightway the father of the child cried out. And notice he was with tears. He was weeping. He says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Please look at my son. So in verse 24, he was weeping. And when the Lord asked him, if you can believe, notice what he said. Look at the answer in verse 24. Lord, he said. Notice he's calling him Lord. But the very fact that he called him Adon, that means that he recognized him as the Messiah. And he says, Lord, I believe. I do believe. I do believe that you can do all things. But then notice what he says. But help my unbelief. He was very honest. He says, I believe that you are who you are, that you are the Messiah. I believe that you are able to do all things. I believe that all things are possible because of who you are. But Lord, help me. I'm an unbeliever believer. Help my unbelief. Perhaps this is something that you and I need to say to the Lord every day. Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you saved me and you died for me on that shameful tree. But help me, I have so little faith in my daily challenges. Help my unbelief. And you know, after so many years with his son have been in that condition, he surely needed the help of God with believing the Lord. And you notice immediately we read in verse 25, 26, and 27, look what we find out. The Lord responded to this man. He had compassion on him, and he helped him. We read, when Yeshua saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, and he said unto him, thou dumbest and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more unto him. And you notice what it says in verse 26, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one that was dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Yeshua took him by the hand and he lifted him up and he arose. Yeshua had compassion on this man, he had compassion on his son, he rebuked this evil spirit, he removed that spirit and commanded it not to come anymore, to come out and never anymore to return to this boy's body. And now you find out that the spirit cried, left him, and kept him on the floor as dead, and Yeshua lifted him up, and he stood up, and now everyone could see that he is alive and he is now no longer in the same condition that he was before. What a lesson, beloved brothers and sisters, that we learn here. What we learn here is that the Lord is able to assist his own people as we walk with him here in this world. He is able to sustain and to assist in spite of the fact that we are an unbeliever's believers. We believe. We trust that the Messiah saved us and paid for the price of our sin and sins, but in our day-by-day living, we just don't trust him. You know, somebody said years ago, he said, we trusted our soul to God, but much of our lifetime, we don't trust him for a piece of bread. We have entrusted our eternity to Yeshua the Messiah when we have accepted him and we have believed that he is the one who paid for our sins and died for us in order to pay for our sins, but we don't trust him for a piece of bread. Isn't it true, beloved brothers and sisters? At times we are unbelievers, believers. And we need, like this man, to say, Lord, I believe, but please help my lack of faith. I confess it. I admit it, that this is me. This is my heart. Lord, help me. Help me. That is the thought that we have here when we learn from this passage. Now, let's quickly move along. Because in the next verses, verses 28 and 29, Yeshua now instructing his disciples as to the need of him all the time. You see, verse 28 and verse 29, he says, when he was coming to the house, it must be a house somewhere there when he came down from the mountain, someone's house, and maybe by the Caesarea Philippi there. He went into a house. His disciples asked him privately, he says, why could not we cast him out? Why is it, Lord? We did it before, they didn't say it here, but we did it before. Why we couldn't cast this demon out of this young man? Why? And look what the Lord is saying. He gives them an answer. And he said to them in verse 29, he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. You see, brothers and sisters, you have to admit, and I have to admit, that many times in our lives, we don't take a time to pray. Check your life. From today, when we leave the meeting, ask yourself the question, did I talk to Jesus, the Messiah, today? When you get up in the morning and you start a new day. Did you speak to Yeshua and thank Him for the night that He had given you? When you went to sleep, you and your wife or you and your children, did you go on your knees before the Lord and say, God, thank you for today? You know very well that prayer is our biggest problem. You know, in many places, in many local assemblies, local churches, on Sunday or on Shabbat, everybody come to the meeting. But midweek prayer meeting? We don't need that. We're going to be religious on the first day of the week or on Shabbat. But midweek meeting, to come to the prayer meeting? I don't need it. We say, and we don't realize how much we need to pray. We get up in the morning, Lord, I don't need to pray. I can talk to you sometime later. We go to sleep at night. Oh, Lord, I don't need to pray. I can, you know, I'm tired. I got to go to bed. We have a problem to get a job or to have a situation in our life. We try to fix it on our own and we don't have fellowship with the Lord and asking Him, Lord, what should I do? How can I handle this situation? You and I have to admit it. The Lord said to the disciples, He says, these things do not come. You're not going to be able to receive power from Me to empower you to be a godly brother or a godly sister and to be able to cast out those demons in those days. You cannot do it by simply saying, oh, I'm a disciple of the Lord. I'm a disciple of the Lord. No, this thing only comes when you are spending, taking the time in beseeching the Lord in prayer and fasting, denying your own way and your own will. And how many a time we fail at that. And you remember what He said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, without Me you can do nothing. There is a verse that is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Look what the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians. And I'm reading this verse. I can do all things through Christ, through the Mashiach, which strengthened me. In other words, I can do nothing if I don't have fellowship with the Messiah, because He will never strengthen me when I live away from Him and I'm not in fellowship with Him and I don't read My Word, the Bible, and I don't pray. What do you think? You're going to get the ability to be empowered when you don't have fellowship with the Lord? It's not possible. Without Me, ye can do nothing. John 15 and verse 5. Now, in closing, the last verses here, in verses 30, 31, and 32, Yeshua now reminds the disciples of the purpose of His coming. Why did I come to this world? It says here in verse 30, 31, and 32, and they departed thence, and they passed through Galilee, and He would not that any man would know it. In other words, He was on the way to Jerusalem because He was going to go into the time when He will give Himself a ransom for many. So He didn't want people to see Him because they're only stopping Him and they want to have their diseases healed and all the physical things met. And He wanted that no one will see Him. As we read here, He would not that any should know it because He had a purpose and a goal in His mind. He set His face as a flint to go to the city of Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Why? Because this is why He came to this world. He came to die, to pay for the penalty of sin. And that's why we read in the next verse, verse 31, and He taught His disciples and He said to them, the Son of Man, Ben Ha'adam, this is a messianic title, the Son of Man delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him, and after that He is killed, He shall rise on the third day. He already mentioned in this chapter, in chapter 9 and verse 12, and now He's repeating it, and He will mention it again in chapter 10, verses 33 and 34. The Son of Man has to die. He has to be killed, but He's not going to remain in the grave. He's going to rise on the third day. And by rising on the third day, He will be taken to the Abba, to the Father in glory. And there He will declare our justification. Every believer will be justified when he trusted the Messiah who had to die, beloved brothers and sisters. And you remember in the earlier chapter, Peter said to him, no, you will never die. And the Lord had to say to him, get thee behind me, Satan, you wishest not the will of God, but the will of men. His face was set as a flint to go to the city of Jerusalem, because that was the reason why he came down to this world. And then, brothers and sisters, notice verse 32, the last verse for this ministry meeting, they still didn't get it. It says in verse 32, but they understood not that saying, and they were afraid to ask him. They still did not understand it, and we don't point the finger at these dear disciples, because had you and I have been there, we would not grasp it. He is the only one that is able to help them to grasp the purpose and the reason that he came. That's why earlier on a mountain, Peter wanted the kingdom to be established, because he saw the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, in a preview of the Messianic kingdom. But no, he must die. The wages of sin is death. Sin need to be paid. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever will believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so he continue on in the study of the Gospel of Mark. He is focused on his journey to the city of Jerusalem. He must be killed, he must be buried, he must rise again, and he must be taken out of here in order to declare us justified. May the Lord bless us and encourage us. And we should be like this man who says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. May the Lord bless his word. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.